Hello, Red Shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today I muse on settings, genres, and rules, and how the rules may be influenced by setting and genre, but are generally independent of both. But first, I have a voicemail from Jason in response to my question last episode about the most widely dispersed and the closest experience of playing online role-playing games. Take it away, Jason.
Hey, Larry, Jason here. The furthest I've played, or the most spread out, I guess, did a game with somebody in Australia. We had somebody else on there. I'm not sure where the other player was, actually. It might have been... I'm not sure. I know I've played with somebody in Japan, and somebody in England, and somebody in Germany, and France, Canada, other people in the States, different places in the States. The closest I've ever played, I guess, was the other room when my son was playing in a game, but we had him, roll 20 game. So he sat in the other room because I was GMing. And so he sat in one room on his computer and I sat in the other room and with my computer. And then we had people from, all over the U.S. on as well. So anyway, that's our experience for roll 20. Enjoy it. And definitely don't be scared to play with people in other countries. Take care.
Thanks for calling in, Jason. I've heard of other people playing online role-playing games of the same game in the same house. I've even heard of, before role-playing games were using virtual tabletops, of people setting up a camera and monitor where someone from a distant location could be like they're sitting at the table with the others and have a place for the others to look to interact with this other player in a remote location. And it was someone I know who told me of their personal experience with that. And it's definitely a small world, and I really enjoy interacting with people from around the world. The Southern Hemisphere, with South America and Central America, just between the North and South America, are both generally in the same time zone as the U.S., and I've mused about this before, but I really should do more with the Spanish I learned in high school and really work on getting fluent and actually role play in another language than English. I've not done that, and I'm not near fluent enough to do it, but I'm sure the creativity and fun of doing that would be a good spur to help cement the vocabulary and other things in the mind. And I seen another post going around of a D&D club at a school, and it was a bilingual school, and one of the players was not very fluent in English, so they decided to make Spanish the language of elves so that it would help everybody learn another real-world language. So that sounds like a fun thing to do, especially in a school environment. Really thank for you calling in today, and I really look forward to you playing in my Delving Deeper campaign starting Thursday. I'm wrapping up the finishing touches to get things ready to go. I'm sure I'll never be done, but I want to have everything just right. But the internet being in the mix, I'm sure there'll be things to derail the best laid plans. And as they say, no plan of the Dungeon Master survives contact with the players. Thanks again for calling in. I hope you have a great day. The setting is not the rules, and the rules are not the setting. So while some rules may be strongly influenced by the setting or the genre, those rules are not necessarily limited to a specific setting or genre. I think that any setting could be run with any rules. Granted, certain rules may make that easier to get into the spirit of the game, but specific rules that are too complex can also interfere. They may be perfectly geared to the theme, but if they're too complex, it may not be fun for all players. I know there's those that really like the crunchy bits, and when I was younger, I really liked the more crunchy the system, but the older I get, the more simple I want it. And D&D, for example, can work not only for fantasy, but Westerns, World War II, weird settings, Cthulhu-type settings, science fiction, and more. And for example, the Swords and Wizardry White Box is a common framework used to build other role-playing games based on original D&D. In original D&D, all weapons do a D6 damage, and all hit dice are D6, making it very simple, and a D20 for combat, and whether you use ascending or descending armor class, it's simple. Then you can abstract your vehicles, ships, and starship combat to use the individual combat system tables, so you're not inventing a whole new system. That's something White Star did, which is based on Swords and Wizardry. There's the 2d6 reaction table. You can use that as a model for other types of tables where there's a maximum positive or negative with an outcome of variations leading to meh in the middle. And that's only 5 tiers. Really good, good, meh, kind of bad, and really bad. And any genre should be able to be run with any rules. And as I said earlier, some rules might better fit certain genres, like Boot Hill 2nd Edition is better for running gunfights because it's already got the rules for gunfights than many other RPGs. And if you don't have Boot Hill, the AD&D 1st Edition Dungeon Master's Guide has a conversion chart where you can run Boot Hill characters in the AD&D setting or AD&D characters in the Boot Hill setting. Similarly, Gamma World and its older sibling, Metamorphosis Alpha, may be better for science fiction and apocalyptic settings than others, but I think that's mostly because of all the lists of gear and mutations and other things, and a couple of tables for radiation poisoning, but you could use saving throws versus poison. And those lists just take the burden off the game master having to come up with their own lists. And AD&D 1E had that conversion between AD&D and Gamma World. And Gamma World is so close to Metamorphosis Alpha, it easily works for both. And I think you can take any RPG and find an analog ability in another, or make a judgment call and determine what the scale is to convert between the two. So say you've got one system that's a percentile system for strength and another that's 3d6. Well, you figure out what the ratios are between the two and you can come up with what the ranges should be between them. With monsters, it gets a little bit easier. If you have a goblin in two different games, you can compare between the two, and the one rule set you're more familiar with, you can extrapolate that goblin up or down in strength to approximate certain other types of creatures. Or you can just take another creature from the rules you're trying to use and have a goblin and just say, well, I think it's maybe like, oh, they've got chimpanzees, so we'll take the chimpanzee stats and tweak that a little bit. There's ways to make it work. I think that's the best thing about Rules Light, that the rules get out of the way of running the game. For example, with Delving Deeper, I'm getting ready to start running a new online game on Thursday, and it offers the minimal tools you need. And it's only when you start needing tables for certain specialized things, for example, to help randomize something, that you even need to go somewhere besides the rules. And that's where the OSR and the do-it-yourself mindset of other RPG enthusiasts really shines, because there's so much free and inexpensive information out there. There's tables all over the internet, on blogs, on forums, on DriveThruRPG, and there's various websites with online generators, and there's tons of generators. We could probably have call-ins just expressing what your favorite generator is. And if you can't find a table to suit you, you can go to a blog, a website, a forum, and if you can clearly communicate what you're after, you often get others who want something similar, and you might get a joint effort of several people pitching in, or a few people might each do their own thing, or if no one heeds your call, you can simply create your own. And here comes the train. As I have expressed elsewhere in prior podcasts, I have a similar feeling about modules. For me, modules are too complex, and they are more sources of ideas to be mined than something to just grab and run out of the box. Now, if you're really stuck for ideas, there are 10 years worth of one-page dungeon contest compilations that you can grab, or you can use the five-room dungeon model to throw something together real quick. There's all kinds of things you can do. Now, if you are totally stuck or totally new, there's nothing wrong with using a module. If you prefer modules or like modules, that's great. But for me, it's too much work to learn a module so I can run it. I need bare bones. And it's really great with the role-playing games community for getting ideas, feedback, and support, because the community on the whole is a very positive, encouraging, and supportive one. And there are a few that want to limit access, and they are sources of discouragement and a general annoyance. And it leaves me scratching my head wondering why anyone like that would want to keep people away so that they can't enjoy a more varied experience at the table. But apart from that, the online RPG community, specifically those who adhere to the OSR, are encouraging and supportive, and we welcome people. And we want to share, and if you've got a cool idea or you're stuck on something that you need some ideas, we're glad to pitch in. And so I'd love to hear your thoughts about this topic. How do you feel about settings, genres, and rules and their interplay? Can you have one without the other? Please call in and share.
To get more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com. My podcast on Anchor is also on several other places where it is syndicated. And if you listen to my podcast on iTunes, please leave a review. I also have a YouTube channel devoted to various RPG topics. And my most popular series is Roll20 for the Absolute Beginner. So if you are not familiar with Roll20 and you want to start online gaming, either as a game master or a player, check out my series. You can find all of my various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. Check the social page on my blog to locate me across the various social media. I also contribute to multiverse.world by the new TSR. If you like my podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways that you can support my efforts. First, please let me know, and more importantly, tell others. Just getting the word out there is very important, and I invite you to consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on DriveThruRPG.
I have over one dozen and counting RPG-related PDFs on DriveThruRPG. I'm also working on a card game that I hope to kickstart in 2020. You can find the sign-up sheet for the announcement mailing list on my blog. And finally, I have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo by Satine Phoenix. I really hope that you support me, and for everyone that's already supporting me, I thank you so very much. I hope you're all having an awesome day. Thank you very much for listening, and game on.